I think the last time I came here was, don't remember, it was August of last year. For those of you who remember, I had to have a surgery in September 19. Get two surgeries in 4 years. Two neck surgeries. Yuck. Yes. Spinal tenosis. They have to open the back and then they go to the front to figure out, because what it is, they call that in their language, decompress the spine. They have to open it up because the fluid, we get fluid coming from all the way from our down to go up. So the problem I have, the nerve I have, they were fighting in all my body because they couldn't go through. So they have to, this is really scary. I went through it, doctor said 50-50. I said, doc, what does that mean, 50-50? He said, you might be go and not coming back. 50-50, that's what he meant. When they put you through whatever they put you through, 6 hour surgery, you don't know. But the second surgery I have last year, doc told me, it's going to be difficult for you to sing and eat properly and speak properly, you know, stuff like that. But by the grace of God, I'm standing here today. Amen. To praise his name, because the Lord has been good. Amen. And I want to tell you something before starting the sermon. Whatever you guys doing spiritually, I heard you. Praying, and keep on praying. Amen. Don't stop. No matter what. Don't stop. I don't know really each of you, your story, but I know my story. But keep on praying and stay closer and build up that relationship with the Lord. Very, very important. We get couples here, we get husbands, we get wives, stuff like that. You're going to keep build up this relationship. The way you do it at home is the same way you have to do it with the Lord. On a daily basis. Every single day. So, and before the surgery that day on the September 19th, and I was laid down, the doc said, how are you doing? I'm great. He said, you see, this is what I like about you. Are you ready? I said, I've been ready. I already done my homework. I prayed, and I love singing, and I've been connected. So go do your thing, and I get out. You know what I mean? As soon as you do, I'm not really afraid of it. It's not an easy thing when you're going through surgery, because this is the way it is. They make you sign papers, all those things. Mm-hmm. If anything won't happen, you know what I mean? You give me that permission to do whatever I have to do. So it's not easy. But 2 in 4 years, and probably a third one later on, because this is what they call C1, C2, C3, those vertebrae you have over there. They're the one you put in pressure on the spine. So they have to decompress that spine, open them. You see, I have all the way on the back, all the way on the front. So, you see, I'm still standing by the grace of God. All right, just to share with you. I love coming here, just to share with you. Okay, so what are we going to talk today? So that's a very important subject, right? And the subject I have for you, he said, are you ready for Christ's return? Are you? Sure. Okay, let's see. You know, it's always a privilege when we open the Bible to understand God's words. When we go through this, we see Jesus' sacrifice to offer eternal salvation to each and every one of us. You will see later on. We need to remember this as the greatest sacrifice ever. No matter what your husband or your wife do for you. But what we're talking about today is the greatest sacrifice for all. This is this brother over there. I don't know. I like the big beard. He's a big guy, you know, stuff like that. Let's say, for example, I said, dear brother, I have a debt of $5,000. Could you help, please? Look at that. He go like this. I don't know if he said, sure, or I'm not sure about this. You know what I mean? But did we pay for Jesus' sacrifice? How much we pay? How much? Greatest sacrifice. For what? For our salvation. He paid the debt. We will see later on. He paid the debt. That's why today we need to rejoice. Because we are serving a great God. Amen. We need to rejoice. Because our God is wonderful, omnipotent, omniscient, and he deserves all the glory. I'm not talking about, no, I said all the glory. Amen. I'm a prime example for that. That's why you see, I'm just, you know, I mean, and I ask the Holy Spirit to hold me. Because I want to keep singing. I was born in Haiti. Yeah, there's a sister, my sister from Haiti there too. I was born in Haiti. This is what we do. When we go through, you guys don't know, you might be don't understand when we talk, when you're talking about your situation, stuff like that, you know what I mean? But we know as Christian in Haiti, when we said we're going through some tough time, and my neighbor would, I'm not saying sometimes, you know what I mean? We have electricity for 4 or 5 hours. Okay, a day. And then what we do at night, is the moon coming down and give us that electricity. I got 4 brothers and 3 sisters and we started singing. The people in the neighborhood said, you guys always singing. You all the time singing every single night. I said, you don't understand. The Lord has been good. Amen. God has been good. We see God, when he put food on your table, give you a roof over your head. He's taking good care of you. You are to praise his name at all time. I heard you said UK school is almost over. Congratulations, you're doing good. God is good all the time, and all the time is even better. And all the time is even better. Look at your life. Look at your life. So now, when we're talking about this greatness, and he deserves all the glory, all the glory, all the glory. So when we look, when we are looking around, what do we see around? It's so difficult to understand that our world is upside down. And there is no way out for some people. No way out. We're talking about, sometimes you see, we're ungrateful because we don't understand. Look at what's going on in Texas, in Houston. They're underwater, right? Anywhere you go right now, we said, oh, Milwaukee. I don't like Milwaukee. You know what I mean? But do you understand what God has done for you? Put yourself in someone else's situation. Put yourself in someone else's shoes today. Water get to the house. And everything in the house, I'm saying everything might be stayed there, but the whole thing is a total mess. So when we see this, we need to praise the Lord for what he has done for us. So the question I have for you today, when we look at out there, and we don't understand what's going on, and everything getting better or worse? Worse. So what the Bible say about that? Are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what you have done for all of us. We're so thankful for reminding us that you are a great God. And through Jesus Christ, no matter what we see around us, we need to get ourselves ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. As we're going to open the Bible, send us the Holy Spirit so that we may apply all this in our life. Amen. And so that we may getting ready for something better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this sister read for us in Luke 12, verse 35 to 48. Let us wait. I'm reading from this is Andrew's Bible, Andrew's Study Bible. I'm reading this New King James Version. Let us your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourself be like men who wait for the master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Be ready when the Son of Man coming. So, and then we can read the rest. So I wanted to stop right there. Then be ready. Brothers and sisters, after carefully reading these verses, one thing come in my mind is the word waiting. Waiting. Wedding in general is not easy, and we do need to understand that we do have to be patient in every aspect of life. You have the kids, mom, dad, I need this. When you want it, now. I want this. May I have, is that my daughter said, may I have $20? I said, are you kidding? $20? You 9 years old, what you going to have? What you going to do with $20? 9 years old, may I have $20? I want to spend. Spend in what? Candy, stuff like that? No. You're going to be patient. I don't have it right now. I will give you maybe $2, $3. Three? Yes, that's all I can do. But I said to her, you need to be patient. He said, no, nah, dad. You have the money. You're working. That's the problem. Sometimes we have, you know what I mean? We don't have any patience in life to wait. But when we're talking about the second coming of Jesus, he said, we need to wait. Okay, what does that mean, dear brother? We need to wait. You see, sometimes it is annoying when you go to the airport and waiting for a family member arrival. That never happened to you? And the next thing you heard, flight 3501 and arrival from Houston, Texas has been delayed. And will be here at Mitchell International Airport later on at 9 o'clock. But you're over there at 7 o'clock. So you want me to stay over there 2 more hours and wait? And you said, are you kidding? And we starting having tantrums, right? I don't know what they call us as grown adults. We're getting upset, not tantrum. Oh. And we said, go back and forth. Because in 2 hours, I'm going to spend in Mitchell. This is not fair. And you go over there and you ask questions, why this, why that? But this is what we do. That's what we do. What about you going to an appointment? You get an appointment set up at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And the next thing you know, that your appointment has been canceled. Due to the fact something just happened. Your lawyer or your doctor has been involved in a car accident. And that appointment for today has been canceled. You see what I said? Your doctor or your lawyer has been involved in a car accident. And your appointment has been canceled. And you were upset. But listen carefully. We're talking about whoever you have that appointment has a car accident. You should be, you know what I mean?
Worried.
Come on. And you're getting upset for yourself, you know what I mean? We were studying about selfishness this week. So your reaction about the situation, and the next thing you know, you were sitting in the waiting room, and you're standing complaining so loud. You upset because they're going to... they're pushing your appointment for 6 months right now. That's, you know, the whole thing is crazy. Instead of praying for the lawyer or the doctor who get involved in the car accident, but most of the time we're complaining about our own situation. There's something we do when we're coming from Haiti. When we're coming from Haiti, if I'm traveling right now to see my parents in Haiti, I have to go to Chicago and Florida and Miami International Airport. But Miami International Airport sometimes is a challenging airport due to the weather. You know, you get thunderstorm, you get lightning. You know, you might be sitting on the tarmac for 2 hours. So people's going, coming from Dominican Republic of Haiti, you have to, you know what I mean, go through Miami. Wherever you're going, you know, in different times, going to Atlanta, Georgia, you're going to New York, you know what I mean? So people starting complaining. And then they said, okay, I'm going to miss my flight, the connection flight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You can hear that. People complaining about Mother Nature, that we don't have any control. And forget to realize that it's a normal procedure about safety. We want to go, but we forget we can go now. There's a safety issue. They said, you're going to sit down here in the airport and wait until it's clear. Because they said, we cannot take off right now. We have a problem as human beings waiting, to wait for something. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's just a few examples to show you as a human being that we do have problems with that. And it is so difficult to understand. Sometimes it is in our best interest that we need to be patient. It's a good thing. It's in our best interest. Sometimes we want things to happen right away, but we don't see behind. What's going to happen? You see people driving on the highway, and they put sign on the highway. They say, the next 3 miles, we're going to have what? Construction. What's construction? We're going to have traffic. Now we got our cell phone. You know what I mean? If you're going to Chicago through 94, you see that's coming through in a Waze or Google's. They're sending sight. And they said, this is what's going to happen in a mile, stuff like that. And you see people getting upset. You know what I mean? Because they want to go fast to get there and do whatever they have to do. This is not what we're talking about. We need to be patient. It is in our best interest that we need to do that. So, can we apply this example in the context of the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? In Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus stated clearly, and I quote, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angel of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." The second return of Jesus Christ is near, even at the door, like a thief in the night. He may come through the door at any moment, but let us make it clear, no one knows that day or the hour. We heard that before, right? And sometimes some of us starting ask questioning when this going to happen. It's a promise. It's a promise. The Lord said he will return, and then we need to be patient. While we need to prepare ourselves, we're going to see that. Brothers and sisters, if no one knows the day and the hour of Jesus Christ's return, what should we do as Christians? The answer is we are to pray and watch for his coming. Pray and watch for his coming. In Matthew 24, 36, and you can read that, 36 to 44, Jesus spoke of a series of events that will precede his return. But the precise moment of that great event has not been revealed to anyone. There's a specific question that all of us need to ask. How can I be ready for the second coming? How? Number one, to be ready for his coming, Jesus needs to be our Lord and Savior, personal Lord and Savior. I said that all the time. It's a good thing to come to church and then we can praise the Lord together. But it's a great thing when we spend time in the Bible and doing our own personal relationship. You're going to spend time in the Bible. That's what you need. You cannot go outside and then if you don't eat in the morning, you're going to faint it maybe after 2-3 hours, a big man like this, you know, big breakfast, right, in the morning. I have to eat before I go to work, otherwise my head is spinning, you know what I mean? That's what it is. It's a human nature, you know. So, you know, you're going to spend time. If you said you're going to wait
and get prepared. You know, you go for an exam. If you're wasting all your time for a semester, you're going to have a final exam. What's going to happen? And one day, 2 days, you think you're going to be ready? No. It's not happen like that. Study every day. Get ready. As soon as you walk to class for the final exam, you relax. You know, everybody say, what's up? What's going on? I'm ready. You know, and you're just ready. You're excited. You want to finish with that thing because you've been sturdy. When you're writing a paper, you do some research, you know, and you want to get your things done. That's the same thing for our life as a Christian. We need to do our part. You cannot come here, walk here, and you think, is the Sabbath school teacher going to teach you, but you didn't do nothing at all throughout the week. You have to get up in the morning, you know what I mean, and then do what you have to do. Pray and ask God, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of discernment for you to understand the word of God. And as you do this on a daily basis, guess what? Somebody talk to me. As you do this every single day, what's what? You get ready. You understand. You don't need to. Nothing will scare you because you know this is the word of God. And you're going to grow spiritually. That's a little song for the kids. When you read the Bible and you go. But when you don't read the Bible, what happened? Shrink, right? The kids sing that song. So that's what he said. To be ready for his coming, we need this as a personal relationship. Amen. Personal. You have to do your job. Jesus cannot be your savior if you do not have a special relationship with him. It is not saying that Jesus is my savior, but it is my duty, it is your duty to build up this relation on a daily basis to study the word of God and consistent prayer. Consistent prayer. Okay, when you ask somebody to pray for you, I'm going through some tough time. We're going to pray for you. But you have to get up too and pray and talk to the Lord. You're going to do it yourself first, and then the whole church will unite it behind you. You know. But if you don't do nothing, it's like I'm cooking a meal for you, and then the meal is ready, and now you look at me. You're ready. I said, the meal is done. And then you look at me and say, oh, what next? So now you want me to take food in your mouth? You get two hands, you get... I've done my part, you know what I mean? You're going to help yourself. You see, you understand what I'm saying? You're going to do that as Christian. You open the Bible, you read, and you ask the Holy Spirit, give me the spirit of discernment to understand. You're questioning it. If you don't understand, you said, please, God, show me. Show me the way. And God, the Lord will show you the way. He will lead you. That's what you have to do. Personal relationship. Only when we surrender our life to Jesus, then he will show us how to be ready in a special way, how to watch every day, every hour, and every minute. Amen. We have to be ready. In Haiti, there's the old ladies used to say, Mache tu pare. That's Creole. Only one person can understand what I'm saying here. Mache tu pare means get yourself ready at all times. Because you don't know. You don't know. Get yourself ready.
How you say?
Marche tout pare. You get it. Marche tout pare. Get yourself ready. At all time. But to be ready, you're going to go there, my friend. My dear brothers and sisters, you're going to spend time there. You have to. Assuredly, I say to you that the wheel gird. You see, robes, they used to tie their robe with a bell that to keep them out of the way when working. That's the meaning of it. You know, and then you get movement. You gotta move. You're gonna keep moving. Get yourself with it. Number two, to be ready for Jesus coming, you and I need to be his servant. We have to serve the Lord with all our heart. Why, doctor? I call Dr. Luke, using the notion of servant. In this case, Luke meant a servant. You have to be devoted and a helpful follower and a supporter of Jesus Christ. You see, now is a fee. What they said? Fear the deer. Anywhere you go in Milwaukee, fear the deer. You know what I mean? People are excited. You know what I mean? They're so amazed to talk about the team. You know, Milwaukee is in the radar right now. It's in the CNN News, Sports Center. It's all over the place. They talk about Milwaukee. Last year they were talking about the Brewers. This year talking about Milwaukee. And next year they're going to have another big event here in Milwaukee. I don't want to go there, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Milwaukee is in the map. It's in the horizon. Because you see people are excited. It's the same thing that we have to do when we're waiting the second coming of Jesus. Excited about this. Because this is a good news for us. Is it a good news? Yes, all the suffering, all those issues we have, all the problems you're having. You know what I mean? Now you cannot leave your car open at night. You cannot leave your door open at night. Things people used to do in the past because we're so scared about what's going on in the city. You know what I mean? We don't know. But the second coming of Jesus Christ will put an end and all this. Need to be ready. We need to be ready and serve it, you know. So, you know, as a follower of Christ, Jesus asked us to stay vigilant. Open your eyes and see. And be ready. Vigilant. You need to watch what's going on around you, you know. Someone made a comment about the issue of being ready at all time. And he said, Jesus, in this verse, comment the servant who are up in the middle of the night, ready for the master expected return. They were up. They were up in the service of the master. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the time has come to realize why it's so important to choose to serve the Lord with all our life. Not half. I said all. All our life. By doing so, we will be ready when the time will come. Practice. Make perfect. That's what they said, right? Keep practicing. Keep reading your Bible. Keep doing what you're doing. If you don't understand, you go to the Lord and said, let's go to the Lord and ask questions. It's like you're in a class. You don't understand, you ask questions. You pay tuition for that, right? Big time tuition. You ask questions. That's the job of the teacher, to give you an answer. If he doesn't know, he said, okay, I'll see you next week. I'm going to make some research about it. So you got to do what you have to do. Number three, to be ready for Jesus' return, we must live in expectation of his return. Expectation means a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. We have to believe this is going to happen. No matter what. No matter what, we have to believe it's going to happen. And the question is, what do you do when you know an important guest will come to your house? Come, help me there. Older lady, you get early in the morning. What you do? Prepare. No, give me more. They're not prepared. Give me details. Clean up. Vacuuming. You know what I mean? And some guests, sometimes when guests coming to your house, what's the first place they ask to go? Ha ha ha, thank you, dear sister. Do you have a bathroom here? The bathroom can be a mess, you know what I mean? This is where you go, you know what I mean? I saw it in my home. My wife, she's, you know, she said, okay, this house needs to be clear. He said, my son and my daughter, go away, you. I don't want you to mess up the house. I just finished cleaning it. And she goes, I said, go somewhere else, go to your room. So this is what you do. You get up, you clean up the place, you vacuuming, you mopping, you buying nice flour, and you keep it clean. And neat throughout the day until that event coming. No, that's your guess. So where I'm going with that? If you're expecting the King of Kings, how should you prepare your life? Think about this question for a moment. Are we expecting the King of Kings? What are we doing? How should we prepare our life? How? Are you going to do your daily activities without connected with him? Just to be able to be ready. So you get up in the morning, you ready. You say, I'm ready, but you don't do anything to show that you are ready. Right? You know, we need to be like the man they were waiting for the master when he was returning from the wedding. That when he comes and knocks, they may open to him. There's one word. Each Bible might be different. They may open to him immediately. Open immediately. Why they have to open immediately? Because they were ready. They've been prepped. They've been ready. They've been ready. Jesus said that we should be ready immediately to open the door when it's coming. Our hearts. Talking about opening the door is not like we do when someone ring. Sometimes people come in and ring your door. What you do? Are you opening your door right away? What you do? Tell me. Talk to me.
Who's this?
Do you have an appointment? No, I don't think so. Who's it? You don't know. You don't open the door. You don't. But you see, in this case, what we're talking about here is we need to be ready to open our hearts to the Lord at any time. We're not saying, hey, Jesus, wait a minute. I was in the, you know what I mean? I'm not, you know what I mean, picking on you. Said, oh, I'm doing homework right now. I can't talk to you right now, please. Come back tomorrow. No. Hey, really? Right now. The Lord is talking to me. The Lord is talking to you and invite you to do that. To be ready. So, you're going to tell me, deep water, what does that mean? To be ready for the second coming. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, be on the alert. For you do not know. That's the text I'm reading for you. You do not know which day your Lord is coming, according to Matthew 24, verse 42. Be constantly on the alert. And at work, they have the womb, the ladies' womb and the men's womb. They build them in a way when we get tornado, everyone in the building have to go between those two rooms. Because that the way they build up the, it's a big building. It said tornado watching. And they're going to send some messages throughout the building. Everybody run for your life. Drop everything. Drop your keys, car, your cell phone. Are we going to drop our cell phone in the key cars, you know what I mean, while you're working? If it's cold, drop your jacket. Go, 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 go. So now you see, we need to be on alert and understand. Keep your eyes open. Keep wide awake. Keep wide awake through the word of God and listening and watching the event going through. Be watchful or be vigilant means to live a sanctified life. Daily, daily, daily. Consciously aware of the coming judgment day. The just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ. The true believer is looking forward to the coming of the bridegroom and king. We can't wait for that event. We can't wait for the moment. Maybe some people said, I've been waiting for so long. That's the problem. When people are asking questions right now. You know? And some folks said, I want to be married. I want to have kids. I want to have grandkids. I want to do. We all want to have all these things. And then guess what? While we're focusing ourselves to this world, we're wasting time. Not paying attention to what is really matter, which is our spiritual life. But be sure, Matthew, I'm still reading for you. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not allow his house to be broken in two. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. You do not know when he is coming. Do not know. We have to be ready. You do not know. Do not know on what day our Lord is coming. He compared himself to a burglar in the night. For you yourself know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pain upon a woman with child. And they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 to 4. So remember today, we're here in this earth, but we're not going to hear forever. Don't be too comfortable. Don't be too comfortable. Spend time in the Word of God. Looking to what is more important for your soul, for your life. What I'm saying here, there's nothing wrong to get a job. While we're here, we have to work. There's nothing wrong. We need a car. Some of us need a nice car. We need a house. We do our things. But not caught up. Don't be caught up on those things. Don't be caught up on those. Because if we get caught up, we're in trouble. We're really in trouble. I'm going to read a few things for you. You will understand. I got a few verses while I was doing this. I put a few verses together. You can write them if you want. According to Revelation 22 verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. Are you ready for that? 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sounds of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Are you ready for that? Amen. According to Matthew 24 verse 44, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Are you ready? John 14 verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 24 verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Are you ready? John 14 verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Are you ready for that? Revelation 3 verse 11, I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? There's a beautiful song I love. Maybe most of you know that song, Midnight Cry. I heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call at the midnight cry, we will be going home. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilled everywhere. The sign of the time, they are appearing everywhere. Oh, I can almost see the Father as he said, Son, go get my children at the midnight cry. The bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And it's closer now than it's ever been. Amen. And then those that remain shall be quickly changed at the midnight cry. We will be going home. I look around me, I see prophecies fully everywhere. The sign of the time, they are appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father as he says, Son, go get my children. Oh, at the midnight cry. The bride of Christ will rise when Jesus step out on a cloud to call his children. The dead shall rise to meet him in the air. That's a beautiful song. I love it. Expectation. 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 Are you ready? Amen. Our great concern today, I'm going to finish, is to be ready when Jesus comes. Therefore, for those of you sitting here, remember that. Be on the alert, for you
do not know which day your Lord is coming. God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Christ did this by paying the penalty of our sins when he died on the cross and rose from the grave. The Bible says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We're bad folks. Ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. According to Romans 5, 6, 8. God is offering you the free gift of salvation or eternal life. It's a gift that was paid in full by Jesus Christ when he died in your place on the cross. You can do nothing to merit it or earn it, to try to pay for it. And it is an insult to the grace of God. And Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I'm done here. Are you ready? Amen. Think about it. Are you really ready? Are you working on it? Are you getting yourself prepared for that? May the Lord bless you. And remember, be ready. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for what you have done for all of us. We're so grateful for dying on the cross. We're so grateful for helping us understand that we ought to be ready for your return. We realize on our own we can't do anything at all. Because with the sinful nature that we have, how can we prepare ourselves for your second coming? We realize that we depend on you. And we need the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to guide us through, help us understand the Word of God, study the Word of God on a daily basis. And no matter what happened around us, we have to be ready. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and what you're doing right now. And what are you preparing for us? In spite of it all, hold our hands, guide our walk, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray.